Joining us now, the voice of the Argos. And you know what? In this business, we say a lot of things, but when you do your research, you look into things, and then you make a call, it is something that it deserves to be recognized. See, I throw things against the wall and hope they stick, but Will Kennedy made the call before the game when he was on with Justin Arren for the sports call and before he got on air for the pregame and the voice of the Argos, and said that he just felt the offense and the way they were clicking, they were going to win this game by a lot, and that's exactly what happened. Will, appreciate the time, and go Argos.
Yes, go Argos. Yeah, I kind of felt like it was going to be, I think I predicted like a 3-touchdown spread, and then at one point in the halftime, I was like, oh boy, I'm way wrong. But it ended up being, it kind of played out the way I thought it would.
Well, if you got a Dave Aranda field goal with 1.5 seconds left, you would have hit that perfectly, 3 touchdowns. But no. And honestly, for the people on that conversation for a different time, but what Dave Aranda did was right. You get paid to do what's best for your team. And since the tiebreaker in the Big 12, and I know, Will, that's your side of the country right there, and when it comes to Texas and the Big 12, but that's something where he did what's right for his team. He gets paid by Baylor, and with a tiebreaker against Oklahoma State, to make that kick what you do. That's what you do. There's no other answer.
And, I said this, and we'll get into this here in a second, but, you know, the end of that game, Saturday night here at Blue Wahoo Stadium, my coach Pete Schenick, because he's one of the classiest dudes you'll ever meet. He's a fantastic man in addition to being a great football coach. I mean, he called off the dogs. You know, he basically kind of ran the clock down, handed the ball over to Valdosta, let them, finish out the last 30 seconds. Could have put it in the end zone, I think, another time and extended that lead out and made it an even bigger win. And would that have played into any regional seeding or anything like that? I don't know, but there's a lot flying around about that today as well.
Well, and the 14-point swing right before half, I actually was watching the entire game. We were down there, and I end up going over and finding a charger because, the person I am scattered, and my phone died, and I was getting social media. So I found a charger, and I was listening to you guys. So I didn't actually get to see it live, but an inadvertent whistle. You guys did a great job of as somebody that used to broadcast, but to listen and to paint the picture, you painted the picture of the inadvertent whistle, but also what was going on in the field. No matter what, it was a disappointing result, but pretty much because the ref was not inept at his job, it ended up being almost a 14-point swing before half, too. So put that all into account.
Oh, it certainly was. I mean, it was, kind of a series there. And through the first half, there was a, tuck situation for the quarterback from Valdosta that should have been a fumble. We had the replay. Great job by the camera crew there of getting that. That should have been a turnover. And then you had this inadvertent whistle. And then you had a phantom pass interference call. And I say this, there's three teams on the field anytime you're talking about a football game. There's the two that are playing, and then there's the one that's officiating. And they're human beings, and it's a tough, tough job. It's one that I don't want to do. I've done it before. I've done basketball, I've done baseball, through the years at youth levels especially. But, even then you're getting abuse from people's parents like me when my kids were playing. But, no, you could see that crew got rattled. And just like a team can get rattled, then they were kind of struggling to get their feet back under them. And they were calling spot fouls on things that weren't spot fouls. There was one where they called a pass interference, and they said 15 yards and marked off 13. And so these little things start to add up, and that's one of the things you're doing calling the game is trying to, paint that picture for those that can't see it. And it is a wild card, and, I'd say it's a wild card in the postseason. You're hoping you get better and better crews, but you've got to play through that. And Coach Schenick's one of the great ones about that, saying, hey, we can't control that. We just got to go out. But he was hot. That's as hot as I've heard him going to the locker room, I think, in any game that I've done about the officiating a little bit. He won't come out and say it. He's not going to be like the Delta State coach a couple weeks ago got suspended for a game because he just went off on the conference and the officials. And but it's frustrating. And much like it's frustrating that you've got a group of people in a room and a selection committee deciding, who's the number one seed in the region and where people are going to play and how that's going to shake out. And the defending national champs, probably ranked number two in the poll that'll come out tomorrow, ranked number one in a power ranking that came out yesterday, even above Valdosta and Ferris State, the only unbeaten team in D2 football. UWF is number one in that, and somehow you're three in your own region. I don't get it.
In terms of keys for UWF to get where they want to be, Will, is that, I guess, what would be the number one thing to you that they need to do going forward? Is there anything they need to improve upon? Obviously, the offense seems to be flowing well, but I guess what might be the biggest key for the Argos to get back to a D2 championship and looking to win that?
I would think, you know, the talent level is certainly there. And it's really interesting now because I think a lot of people look back at the 2019 team and think, and they were loaded with talent, but they tend to forget now that we've gone through another season and lived up to the hype and here you are in the postseason again, that that was a team that snuck into the playoffs, had to win their last regular season game against West Alabama to get in, and then, of course, had to go on the road and beat all these teams and all these number one teams in different regions and unbeatens. So they were the underdog, and I think this team is better. I think the talent level is a little bit better, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I think Austin Reed's a better quarterback. Shamari Mason's a better running back. You know, got some receivers that have come along and come into the program or developed. So I really think, you know, they're even better than they were in 2019. I know the guys that off that team that aren't playing anymore, they'll take up issue with me on that. But I think it really kind of comes down to special teams are looking excellent right now. It's the defense, and I think Argo fans and I think the team themselves would even, you know, they would not disagree. They'd say we've got to play consistent defense. We've got to do what we did in the second half against Mississippi College, the second half against Texas A&M Commerce. We've got to do what we did for that complete game against West Alabama. And you know, they can be a dominant defense. They can force turnovers. They can get off the field on third downs. They just got to find a way to stop the big plays. That's all Valdosta had in the game Saturday night was a couple deep passes where they let number six, Gallimore, get behind them. Outside of that, Valdosta couldn't run the football, and we were getting to the quarterback and making him uncomfortable. And I think that's a recipe for disaster for anybody that has to line up across from the Argos is, you know, if they're clicking on defense, the offense is going to score 40-plus points a game. That's a given, and that's a tough team to beat.
Speaking with Will Kennedy, the voice of the UWF Argos, not just for football, but all sports. And today, focusing on football with the committee making the selection wrong on Sunday. And it is just how it is. And Will, I'm not going to act like an expert on all the rules with NCAA because we cover so many different sports and they change. I remember doing a high school football game and being like, ooh, that penalty is going to cost them. It's a first down. And it wasn't. It's just a yard from the spot foul. So it was like third and 16. And it actually end up being third and one, and they were like, that's not how it works here. So when it comes down to it, you look at like what's going on in Division II, and I read the rules. Brian Henry, I called him earlier, actually, and he sent it over. And the thing is, when it comes down to it, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, they like that win against McNeese State, or because it was an FCS win, or they're looking to account the matchup where, you know, we won a game against in front of everybody and dominated Valdosta State, but that's still looked at as a really good win or a really good loss against the defending champs on the road, where losing to West Georgia at home is more of a significant loss. They didn't take the eye test in consideration and do their homework to me.
Well, there's a list that you mentioned, Chad, and it's been posted on social media, and I, you know, because I've seen it, but people are getting to look at it today and they're asking me, and I said, the thing is, there's a ton of stuff on that list, right? And there are some idiosyncrasies and some things like you mentioned about, you know, not giving us any credit for being the only team in the GFC and one of the few in D2 in a long time to beat a team at the next level up, like, and a good team like McNeese from a good conference. We don't get anything for that, but they don't give you, they give you this list of criteria, but they don't tell you how they're using that or what they rank as more important. And yesterday during the selection show, we're watching it with the team after their senior banquet. And the guy says on the broadcast, you know, well, Valdosta had the second hardest schedule in Division II. Well, according to some sites I've seen, we've got the hardest. So why do you throw out they've got the second if ours is either first or third, depending on where you're looking? So that's not the answer. It's not like Valdosta had a much harder schedule. I think what it comes down to is, and this is really frustrating for Argo fans, it's frustrating for our athletic director, Dave Scott, who I know you're going to talk to later, you know, that You've got a situation where Valdosta gets credit because they played Albany State and they played Savannah State, who are in the region. Albany State got into the playoffs. I think Savannah State was ranked when in the region when Valdosta beat them. And they get extra credit for that. We lost a game that we didn't get to play with Fort Lauderdale not coming in. And then we played Texas A&M Commerce, who was ranked at the time, but they're not in our region. And they didn't make the playoffs. We can't control that. We tried to get home and home series with Albany States and the Savannah States, and they just won't do it. And it's not because they fear us more than Valdosta. Valdosta is just closer geographically. So we're kind of getting punished for the fact that we can't find anybody to play. So we have to go and play a D1 and we beat them. And, you know, hey, nice win, but doesn't do anything for you. And I think, you know, I could stomach it a lot easier And the team will deal with it. We'll all deal with it. We'll move on. You know, you'll play who's in front of you, and you'll play where you have to play. But the fact that the team that you just beat, as you mentioned, by 3 touchdowns, gets a week off, gets to rest and get healthy, and then you might have to go play them in a couple weeks in Valdosta, which is a tough place to play. You know, in 2019, we lost to them in the regular season. We got to go play them on the road in the playoffs. I get that. I don't get this. You know, you're not rewarding the team, because one of the things on that list was head-to-head. And to me, personally, that would be the most important thing, is that head-to-head matchup. And you know, it's frustrating not just to not be number one, but we're not even number two in the region. And that could play in down the road, you know, semifinal matchups and such. And so I know a lot of fans out there, I feel your frustration. I express the universal outrage, and I'm not going to – it's like I have to stop. I have to walk to a line and stop. But I know what you're feeling.
Well, and it's not just me. People like, I want to say, I was reading the article, the guy Wayne, who wrote the article during the selection show before it happened, was like, this win should lock up the bye for West Florida. This guy gets paid to write for NCAA.com, and he's writing that. So it's everybody, and I'll say it because you know how I am, Will. You know, I try to be a nice person to everybody, but I don't mind calling a spade. Is there a possibility that, and you don't have to answer this with a complete, because you have a job for the school, but, you know, sort of the good old boy group of people that don't like newcomers to the party. And Valdosta is one of the longest running rich tradition. I knew about Valdosta from high school level to college when I was a little kid, going through the paper mills of Georgia Pacific and all that. But when it comes down to looking at, you know, the people on that committee, how much people maybe don't like a new person stepping up to the show and putting everybody in their place, 8-0 on road playoff games, going to 2 national titles in 4 years. How much this might be some of the people on that committee just being like, you know, if we can control not giving them too much because they're better than us, we're going to do this. And you don't have to answer with a definitive, but is there a possibility of that? I'll put it in an easier way.
Well, you've got people in a room, right? You've got human beings in a room, so the human element is certainly part of it. And, you know, it's athletic directors, it's former coaches, it's all, you know, those type of people are in the room making these selections for these reasons. And, of course, you know, who you're buddies with and who you coached with and who you worked with is going to play in. And they can say, well, we just look at the numbers, but there's so many things on that sheet. And, you know, it's not just being plugged into a computer or anything like that, you know. And I will say this, it's Division II level. This does not have the money, you know, and things support that obviously the big time does. And so some of it is, you know, they're looking at matchups and saying travel and how can we match two teams up and make sure. And they're looking not just first round but beyond. And they're trying to keep us and Valdosta away from each other until at least the third round. But that could have been achieved by flopping, you know, us at 1 and them at 3 or whatever you wanted to do. But so there's so many levels and different elements that go into something like this. But I think you're right, and I think at a certain level there is kind of like this, I don't want to say it's disrespect, but it is kind of like this, you know, who are these guys? They've been to 2 championships and games in 4 years. They've won one. How are they doing this? And, you know, they're a threat to certain things and the establishment and the way things have been. And, you know, I don't know, you know, somebody, whether they'll say it or not, is like, let's make it harder for them, you know. Because, listen, you know, we're banged up a little bit, as is everybody this time of year. A week off would have helped some guys heal and get healthy. And I know Valdosta's sitting over there, their best wide receiver, graduate Brian Sons, who's, you know, tortured us for years, wearing number 0. He limped off the field with a hamstring at the end of the game, at the end of that loss the other night for them. And, oh, that he probably could not play this week. So they're getting the benefit, you know, one, being at home, but two, having a week off and, you know, potentially playing at home all the way through. And it just, you know, I just look down, and I'm with you, the eye test, but also how can you be ranked number 2 in the country, number 1 in the power poll, and number 3 in your region? That makes no sense to me. And I know, you know, we can talk college basketball and that selection thing and that committee, and we can talk about the college football playoff. And the NCAA loves controversy. They love people to be talking about stuff like this, and because they're talking about their sport, right? So it's something that we can – you know, Pete Shinnick's a master, and these guys are already like, it's all business, and we'll play and we'll deal with it. But I think it is a chip on their shoulder, whether they'll say it or not. And, you know, if we have to go to Valdosta in a couple of weeks, I got a feeling there's going to be an intensity and a different kind of level with going in there than the last time we went in there.
Well, I'll leave you with this, Will. Message boards like Lenore Ryan and Ferris State will be a lot quieter these days when we play them, if we do.
You don't want to post that horrible video that Ferris did again. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, I'd like to be playing a semifinal game in Pensacola in December and not freezing my rear end off and, you know, somewhere up north. And they kind of took that away from us potentially with what happened yesterday. But, you know, I like this team's chances of making a deep run again, defending their title. Newberry comes in. We kind of know that conference pretty well. We've beaten Wingate, you know, in the first round out of that conference and the previous two trips to the playoffs. They're a good football team, but, you know, being politically correct here, that conference, the SAC, is not the GSC. And, you know, kudos to Newberry and the Wolves for a 9-2 record winning their conference, but it's going to be a little different for them to come down here and play a team that plays in what I think is the best, you know, conference of Division II football, hands down.
We'll be smiling welcoming them in the stadium and smiling welcoming them for a safe trip back home. So, Will, it's going to be a great day on Saturday. Looking forward to the 1 o'clock kickoff. I know we'll send it to you at 12:30. But another home game
actually,
we get to come
–
yeah. Wait.
I was going to say,
noon,
we're
okay.
Actually going to go on an hour. We're going to go an hour early. We're going to go on at 12 and do an hour pregame. So we'll come in right after Justin and Ren's show. It's playoffs. Let's get a little extra in there.
Let's do it. I'm down. Like I said, I'll be charging my phone somewhere in the parking lot anyway. So, I mean, like, but hey, Will, appreciate it as always. It's great to catch up. We got so many other sports to talk about, but we got to head to a break to talk about how great the Gators and teams like that are right now. So
don't talk about the Longhorns. Stay away from that.
Oh, I won't. You know, we'll give we got to give the Jayhawks, you know, with their no, but I'm just kidding. They don't even know how to celebrate. The guy bumped, I think the guy tore an ACL trying to celebrate. And I'm not sure if he was a lineman or it looked like the long snapper scored, but it's okay. You know what? They beat you guys. It is what it is. We already claimed your victory anyway at UCF, so let's move on. So, you know,
I'm glad I got one team that's winning.
That's right. Well, Will, have a blessed day. Thanks for everything you do, and always enjoy listening to
you. Anytime.